The Boise State Public Radio app. News, music, and more.
Idaho Matters.
Morning Edition.
All things considered.
The Connector.
And more.
And more.
You can take us wherever you go and stay connected. Without it, you're missing out. Download it free.
You can also communicate using the Talk to Us tab.
The Boise State Public Radio app.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Being able to hear is something so many of us probably don't even think about. But for many Idaho children, being able to hear used to come at a hefty price. That is, until a few days ago. Thanks to a grassroots effort of parents with deaf or hard of hearing children, along with an Idaho lawmaker, a new rule was passed to make it more affordable to get hearing aids for Idaho kids. We first brought you this story back in September, and today we wanted to give you an update. Joining me live in studio are Representative Alana Rubel and Gretchen Fors, a council member on the Idaho Council for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, as well as a mom of three children who require hearing aids. Welcome back to the program, both of you.
Welcome.
So excited to be here.
So, Representative Rubel, take us back. Give us a little bit of background, because you first brought this to the legislature last year.
Yes. Yes. Well, I brought it thanks to Gretchen here, who's one of my constituents, and came to one of our picnics and told me that there was this issue in the law whereby insurers in Idaho did not cover hearing aids for children who were deaf or hard of hearing. And I was kind of shocked to hear this. Saw that a number of other states did require that coverage. So last session, we brought a resolution that called for the Department of Insurance to work up rules, working with the industry and working with the stakeholders, that would provide this coverage. So in between, over the summer and fall, we worked with the department, went through a public comment period, and finally got a proposed rule change that just passed a few days ago.
This is really incredible, because, Gretchen, give us a little bit of your family background, because when we say a hefty price tag, that is not an exaggeration.
Gemma, it really is not an exaggeration. And so my children are actually hard of hearing, and they have mild to moderate, and then one of them actually has moderate to severe hearing loss. And so what usually happens with these mild to moderate cases is, because hearing aids cost about $5,000 a pair, a lot of times the kids don't get the services they need. It's hard for an audiologist to say to a parent, your child would benefit from a hearing aid, when the parent then says, well, my child can talk to me and they seem okay, so why do I need to spend $5,000? And so luckily, to be honest, I grew up in Idaho, and it took me 20 years to move back after I left for college. And so I actually had my children outside of the state. And when we moved back to the state of Idaho is when I realized that Idaho didn't cover hearing aids. And so my children, who were mild to moderate loss, probably would have never been aided here in the state, because it's hard to explain to a parent you need that. But it really affects their education, their ability to participate in activities, to get all they need to out of life. And so that's where it really, the rubber meets the road, is that every child deserves the opportunity to be able to hear well and clearly, especially while they're trying to learn and grow their brains and develop.
And also, because they're kids and they grow,
right?
Well, one pair doesn't last for years on end.
Correct. It takes, the average child needs to get hearing, when they're smaller, just like little babies, they need hearing aid molds every, 3 to 6 months sometimes. When they're growing, just like they need little, the difference between a newborn infant and a one-year-old is huge.
So that's like $5,000 every time?
No. The hearing aid molds are about $150 a pair.
But still. But
then, and then the hearing aids themselves are between $3,000 to $5,000 depending. But they need to be changed about every 3 years. And so it does become, we have three children who have hearing aids. Our oldest, the one that has the most severe hearing loss, hers actually costs $10,200, because they're very specialized. She has a very unique type of hearing loss and needs a special device. And that's what really spurred this. Is I was looking at that bill trying to figure out, we're very blessed. We have some means, but that's a lot of money to spend on something that, like, she wears to school. I send her to school with $10,000 worth of equipment on her head every day and hope that it doesn't get broken at recess, the playground.
Yeah, we're worried about a smartphone, right?
right.
Seriously. Yeah, and you're worried about, and then you think about younger children, right? And you're putting a $5,000 device on their head.
Yes, my little six-year-old, last year she lost her hearing aids at recess, and the recess person came up to me, and she said, Carly ran up to me and said, I lost my hearing aids and they cost more than a car. I need you to help me find them. And that's a lot of stress for a little kid to get. I have to, sorry, it sounds terrible, but to put that fear in your child, but
you have to, right? But you also bring up a good point, and maybe Representative Rubel, you can talk a little bit about this, is that, Gretchen, you have means. So you, as much as a, that is a lot of money for most people.
Yeah.
That is unaffordable for a lot of people.
That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. And one thing, you know, we had an incredible group of moms and doctors that came out to every hearing. And that's one thing I really want to underscore in all this is what an incredible civics lesson these people were for us. I have never seen a group be so organized and civically engaged. They all came to every single hearing at the department, in committee, Senate, House, you name it. They were there on the spot, like 30 to 40 of them every single time. But one thing that came out is, you know, they were like, we're the lucky ones. We're the ones who are able to take off in the middle of the day and show up at a hearing, and we're the ones who were able to scrimp and save, and maybe it came at the expense of a vacation or being able to save for college, but we were able to do it. But there are so many other families that can't. There are so many other families that no matter what they scrimp and save, they just don't have the $5,000 or $10,000, and there is nothing they can do to make room for that in their budget. So a lot of these moms were really fighting for the other moms and kids for whom it was not an option at any sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. And Gretchen, talk to me a little bit about, you know, you moving back here and the realization that came to you that this wasn't covered by private pay insurance since you had lived in a state where it had been.
So every state deals with these kinds of situations differently, right? And so to what it really means is that we're going to be on a payment plan with St. Luke's for the rest of our lives. That's how I feel.
Right.
No, because I think that that's what we just need to remember is hearing's important and it determines so many things in life. And the other moms who came with me, we are lucky. We were able to get our kids what they need. And guess what? We can see what they can do because of that. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. There's this gap where there's children who need hearing aids, but because it seems so unaffordable or they're right on that cusp of mild to moderate loss that people think, oh, they'll be good enough. Like
They
can get by. I had an ENT here in Idaho tell me, oh, she has one good ear. She'll be okay. And that's, you know, the research says that's not true, but that's what we were telling ourselves because there wasn't really another option. Mm-hmm. And the option of telling a parent you need to spend all this money was also so hard to swallow that they just would try to reassure the parent by saying, well, they have one good ear or they hear good enough. They should be okay. And that's what I really hope. And I'm so grateful for Alana Rubel and all the work she did on this, but I really hope the big winners are the kids, mm-hmm. these kids who are going to really thrive because they have the opportunity to get what they need in life to thrive.
I'm speaking with Representative Alana Rubel and Gretchen Fors, a council member on the Idaho Council for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, talking about this new ruling where private insurance companies now are required to cover the cost. Tell me about some of the new requirements, though, Representative Rubel.
Well, they have to be medically necessary. So,
because the kid's going to want to.
Yeah, exactly. I think the least of your worries is that people are going to be trying to get these for cosmetic purposes. But
that's not going to happen.
But you at least, some doctor needs to say that this would be, required for the child's education or mm-hmm. cognitive development, which I think is a fairly low standard to meet for children because it is necessary for their cognitive development. And it applies to dependents. Now, this is an interesting wrinkle because it will apply to those as long as they remain on their parents' insurance plans, which under the Affordable Care Act means till you're 26. Mm-hmm. So actually, folks will be able to get these hearing aids covered until they're 26 as long as they remain on their parents' plans.
And it's every 3 years they're able
every
to get
them,
every
3 years they're able to get them. And they also get 45 visits of speech therapy during the year following installation of these hearing aids. We had one mom in particular who really underscored the necessity for that because they just don't work without a requisite amount of therapy. Mm. And those therapy visits are really expensive when we're driving parents into the poorhouse as well. And certainly if we want to achieve the goal of having kids who can fully participate and grow and succeed, that therapy is just as critical as the hearing aids themselves.
Were you surprised by the amount of children that are deaf or hard of hearing when this was brought to your attention?
I guess I was surprised by the whole thing. I was surprised by every facet of this. I mean, the number, but also just the mere fact that they weren't covered and the mere fact that, anything else that happens to a child would generally be covered. They get in an mm-hmm. accident, they break a leg, they, whatever else happens.
Eyeglasses are covered.
Most other things would be covered, but this was not. And like, why in the world wouldn't this be covered? And then, then we had a little bit of a struggle in the interim about, mm-hmm. First they wanted to only cover congenital deafness. And that was another interesting thing I learned was how much of the deafness is not actually necessarily congenital, but it can be caused by childhood illness, meningitis, and other things. So that was another thing we had to fight for, is to make sure that deafness would be covered regardless of how it was caused.
Mm-hmm. Gretchen, is it, do you think, a learning curve for people who have not dealt with this situation to understand what deafness, what hard of hearing, not just what it is, but how it affects someone.
For sure. So my actually personal background before I had children is I'm a family nurse practitioner. So that meant I had classes like, you know, an ENT about how to read an audiogram, what an audiogram means, what basic hearing is. And I used to joke with our audiologist that you need a PhD in audiology to understand an audiogram. Like, those lines meant nothing to me until I had a child who actually I could see what it meant firsthand to have. And I think that's been a big part of what we've done is educate people. Like, hearing's important. Mild hearing losses affects people. You know, I think a lot of times we think of severe to profound deaf people, and that's what people assume all of these kids are. But there's a huge spectrum of what hard of hearing, hearing loss, and all of these things entail. And so, yes, it's been a huge eye-opening education for me, and I feel like I had a foot in already in the medical field.
When does the rule officially take effect, or has it?
Well, the rule will take effect as soon as we go out of session, but it won't actually be implemented into policies until policies that come out in the 2020 year, because they write the rules for policy coverage the year before they go into effect. So they basically are going to be writing soon over the summer. I think they'll be hammering out the rules for the 2020 policies, and this rule will be governing then any policies that go into effect for 2020. So currently, unfortunately, people will not get them covered starting next week, but they will for starting 2020.
And that's still better. I mean, so much better than what it was,
yeah.
I would assume.
Yeah. Oh, yes, way, way better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's unfortunately the best you can do because once those rules are written for the coverage for the year, you can't really go in and change them for that year because the policymakers have set the premiums and basically set their entire system based on that scope of coverage. So we couldn't change the scope of coverage for 2019 plans, but they will be changed from here on forward.
And that's what matters.
Yeah,
I want to thank both of you for coming in and talking about this. My guests, Representative Alana Rubel and Gretchen Fors, a council member on the Idaho Council for the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, as well as a mom of three who require hearing aids. Thanks for the conversation.
Thank you.
And that'll do it for this episode of Idaho Matters. Thanks so much for listening. And just a reminder, you can find all of our episodes wherever you get your podcasts.